All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially in 2025, and I'm sad to announce to you that we're only on day two of 2025, and we have seen amazing and fearful and ominous things take place in just the past 24 hours going into, again, we're on day two. And I believe that we are witnessing what could be the largest MK Ultra operation that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Now, as this narrative continues to unfold of what took place in the past 24 hours, it is shaping up to be what I believe, again, is a major MK Ultra operation right in front of us. So we're going to talk about all that today. And before the ball even dropped on New Year's Eve, I believe there was other signs that took place that we're not really hearing much about because, again, everything else has kind of taken the front burner of this. But we're going to show you all that today, and we're going to cover it today on today's podcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is January 2nd, 2025. We've officially, at least for those of us who are alive and well and listening to the program, we have officially made it over to another year. Unfortunately, that is not the case for many individuals, at least 15 that we know of in New Orleans, because their lives were tragically snuffed out by what we're being told looks to be an ISIS narrative, a terrorist, homegrown terrorist that an individual, and we'll give all the background on that. We'll talk more about that. Before we do that, guys, can you do us a favor? Hit that like button. It's going to help us here on Rumble and YouTube and wherever you may be watching, listening from. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. That's going to help you guys keep up with this on these platforms as well. And again, we always tell you, take it the best way to keep up with our ministry is download our free app. And it's available on Apple and Android devices today. Again, all you got to do is go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. And you're going to see that right there on your screen. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just type in the End Time Headlines, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you'll be squared away. We appreciate you coming on today for the program. If you're new, if you happen to be new to the program, new to the broadcast, in the chat, in the comments, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Let us know where you guys are joining us from and that you are new. We want to welcome everybody on Apple, Spotify, and every platform where in which you're reading and listening to this. So before, as I said at the beginning of this, guys, before the ball even dropped in Times Square, ushering in the new year of 2025 on the Gregorian calendar. Now, we know on the Hebrew calendar, we already entered in. We've been in 2025 since September. On the Hebrew calendar, we went into 2025. But on the Gregorian calendar, which the majority of the world operates in, acknowledges, we officially entered in to 2025. But again, like I said, as I said before, before the bell ever dropped, or the bell, the ball, before the ball ever dropped, something very interesting was taking place. On New Year's Eve night, and many of you may know this, many of you may not, there was reported lightning strikes. Now, again, this is nothing new. This has happened before, but listen to this. Lightning struck reportedly the U.S. Capitol building. It struck the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and the One World Trade Center and the Empire State Building. Let me say that again. On New Year's Eve, not one, not two, not three, but four major U.S. monuments all were struck by lightning in the same night. Again, we're talking about the U.S. Capitol building. We're talking about the Washington Monument. We're talking about the One World Trade Center and the Empire State Building. Now, we've got a video we can show you. I want to show you one of these here, one of these lightning strikes. Here's this. There, you can see it right there. Boom, striking the Capitol building. And then again, there is, and we're not going to show all these guys, but there is multiple videos that have circulated, again, showing that all of these monuments were struck by lightning on the same night. Now, again, I know for the skeptics that will say, well, this happens all the time. It's nothing new. The U.S. Capitol has been struck by lightning probably hundreds of thousands of times over it since it was built, or the Washington Monument, or the One World Trade Center, or the Empire. That's true. That's true. We'll give you that. But at least to my knowledge, I have never heard in my 47 years of living all four of these monuments being struck by lightning in the same night. And consequently, it all happened on New Year's Eve, as we were on the brink of crossing over into 2025. Now, many individuals who saw this as an ominous sign of things coming into 2025. Now, Trump supporters took to social media and said that this was a divine message that was being sent. Again, this was from Newsweek. U.S. Capitol struck by lightning on New Year's Eve, seen as God's message by MAGA. Now, that's honestly, guys, that's ridiculous. I don't agree with that whatsoever. Now, do I believe it is a sign from God? Very well could be. And you say, Brother Ricky, what is the sign? Well, I believe it could be a warning. Now, before you run to the comments to refute that, let's just talk about what has transpired since that event. And again, in the past 24 to 48 hours, we have had some terrible things that has happened in America on U.S. soil consequently. So, as many of you guys already know, there was a terrorist attack that took place on New Year's Eve. If you want to be technical, it was on New Year's Day. It was about, 3-4 in the morning on New Year's Day on Bourbon Street, where an individual whom, again, the narrative has been created. We're going to show you a video here. We're just going to let them. And again, I'm not saying I agree with this narrative, but we're going to share what information that we're being told, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper in this.
Dozens more injured after a man in a pickup. At least 15 people dead, dozens more injured after a man in a pickup truck plowed into a New Year's crowd on New Orleans Bourbon Street. The FBI identifying the suspect as 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar, an Army veteran born in Texas. Cops say he opened fire on police after the truck stopped and was killed in a shootout. Police finding guns, multiple pipe bombs, and an ISIS flag in that truck. The FBI now investigating the mass killing as an act of terrorism as they probe potential ties to terror organizations. They also believe Jabbar may not have acted alone. Meanwhile, the FBI and Harris County Police raiding a location in Houston, Texas last night as they look for more information on the killer and potential accomplices.
All right, let's stop. That's a lot to take in right there. So again, there's the narrative, guys. They're saying that this man is part of a larger terror organization, a terror cell group. Now they've expanded their investigations to Houston. This is where this man allegedly lived, where he served in the military. And again, in the beginning, when this first came out, I rolled with it for a little bit, but it was and we're going to get into this in just a minute, but it was the Cybertruck explosion that got me, because they are now tying this in with this, and the way that was done and carried out, the symbolism to it. That is an absolute message. Everybody who has eyes to see, they can see this. So this is why, and we'll get into that more. So let's listen here and see what they're coming up with here. And we're going to show you some more stuff here.
I want to bring in Fox News contributor and former CIA station chief serving in Moscow, Iraq, and Pakistan, Daniel Hoffman. Dan, I'm so grateful that you're with us this morning. Give us your initial assessment of what happened in New Orleans.
Well, look, there's still a lot of information that we're waiting for, and I can tell you that based on my experience serving decades at the CIA, our intelligence community, as well as state and local federal law enforcement, they're mounting a full-court press right now, not just to do the forensics on this horrific terrorist attack, but to determine the extent to which the perpetrator of the attack might have been involved with some sort of a network that assisted him with planning and with financing, whether there was an overseas connection as well. It looks as though he had a connection with ISIS, and they've enjoyed a lot of open field running in Afghanistan, especially since the Biden administration's chaotic withdrawal back in 2021, where we now lack the capability to find, fix, and finish those targets. ISIS.
So we're doing this. We're back on the ISIS narrative again, apparently.
Not only has mounted external operations attacks in Russia, and of course there was the attack that was thwarted in Austria against Taylor Swift concert, but online they have a presence, and they radicalize potential followers all over the world.
And how's that possible? We can't even get YouTubers, influencers, pastors, anybody that's whistleblowers or people trying to get out information on social media outlets like TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or any of these platforms. We can't get something to stay up on social media for more than an hour before it's flagged, removed, and taken down by independent fact checkers and all the arbitrators of truth. But yet you're telling me that these ISIS operatives are able to do all this stuff online under the radar, and they can just do this and get away with it, and nobody, and they're not being flagged about this. See, it doesn't, I'm telling you guys, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry, but I'm not buying it. These days, they could have built this case 10, 15 years ago, but today, no. I just don't believe it. I'm sorry, but I don't.
It's been a staple of Al-Qaeda and ISIS since their inception.
And we had that attack on that German Christmas market about 2 weeks ago. Similar situation. Mass casualty event. Someone picking a very busy, crowded event. And this is what happened, obviously, in New Orleans, a busy crowd. I mean, you know, New Orleans after midnight on Bourbon Street is going to be packed. And obviously that suspect knew this. But, you know, you mentioned something about the financial issue here. And that's, you know, this goes back to motive of this suspect. And while they are investigating the motive, he did have a lot of financial problems. Is that someone that do you think, even though he was born and bred a Texan, an Army veteran, he was in the Army for 10 years, he had a lot of financial problems, reportedly, and that's all coming to light this morning.
Who doesn't, lady? Most people has financial problems. Most people are in debt. But this is by no means a means to, or a narrative, or a reason to carry out this stuff. This is just crazy. Again, guys, I'm not buying this story, this whole narrative that is being fed to us. Wait till I show you some stuff here in just a minute. Again, this may not build much of a case right now, but when we connect the dots in a minute, again, huge red flags.
Are those the types of people that you think are vulnerable to influence from terrorist groups like ISIS?
Oh, okay. Now let's think about this. The guy's in financial trouble. So here's a brilliant idea. Let's recruit this guy who's in financial trouble. So what has he got to gain from this? The guy is dead. Well, you know what, Brother Ricky? He's debt free. Yeah, he's dead. But he don't have any financial problems anymore. No, he's dead. This is just insane, guys.
They certainly can be. Look, the potential here for mental health issues, we just don't know a whole lot. We've got to do a deep dive into this individual and understand what else was going on in his life. And there's a lot of work being done by the FBI right now and also by journalists uncovering what sort of life he was leading. But I want to get back to the the tactics involved here, because you're right to call out the truck used here to launch this horrific attack. Yes, they've been used in the past in Berlin, in Nice, and in Wisconsin. Trucks are, there's no training involved here. And Al-Qaeda, through Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula online magazine called Inspire back a decade ago, encouraged their followers to use exactly that tactic as mass casualty events like this. That's something that we have to be absolutely focused on in the future.
Well, there was a similar event here in New York City on the west side along the Hudson River. And again, it was someone that was inspired by terrorist ideology. Let's talk about the incident in Vegas because a Tesla Cybertruck exploded.
Right. Here we go. Now we're going to get into something here. Let's see what they say. And I've got another video after this in just a second.
Also yesterday, outside Trump International Hotel there, 20 seconds after it pulled up to the entrance. Now, police say the person in the vehicle was killed, at least seven bystanders hurt. The car reportedly was full of gasoline, camp fuel containers and large fireworks. Now, authorities say they do know who rented the vehicle, which was acquired in Colorado, but they're not publicly identifying that person yet.
Oh, we've got that. We've got the person who did it. So we're going to tell you who did
it. Both the New Orleans attacker and the suspect in the Vegas explosion used the car rental app Turo.
Here we go. Both these individuals, this is what they're telling us. This man in Texas, this man who's a Texas local resident, the man who carried out the attack in Louisiana and New Orleans, he used this app, rental app for this truck, and it was the same app that this man used to carry out this explosion. I message in front of the Trump Hotel in Vegas. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, right?
Rent the vehicles they used. Now, right now, there's no clear ties established between the two individuals. Turo says it does not believe either suspect had a criminal background that would have been identified as a threat. Dan, can you give us some color and commentary on this?
Well, we don't really need to hear his commentary because we've got this is outdated, because I want to show you now what we're finding out. More information has come forward. Here we go. Las Vegas bomber who blew up Cybertruck outside of Trump Hotel, as police say he served at the, quote, same military base as the New Orleans mass killer Jabbar. So not only did he use the same rental app, but he also served at the same military base. Now, I want to show you something here real quick. Now, here are the two suspects. The one that you're looking on your screen, on the man on the right here is Jabbar. This is the guy that carried out the attack in Louisiana. This man on the left, who is, again, look carefully, because we're going to go back to this, but take a close look at this man, because they are now saying that these two are connected. Both served at the same military base. Both used the same truck rental app. And so the narrative is being formed that these individuals work together and conspire together to carry out what was carried out. Now, let's go back to this report. The bomber who blew up a Tesla Cybertruck outside of the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas has been identified as Army veteran Matthew Livelsberger. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Livelsberger or Berger, however you pronounce it. It might be Livelsberger, although officers have not publicly named this individual, 37 years of age, as the bomber. Senior law enforcement sources confirmed his identity. This man served over 19 years in the Army, 18 of which were spent with special forces, according to his LinkedIn profile. His current role was listed as a remote and autonomous systems manager, which he had been in just for 3 months. A Colorado townhome associated with this individual was raided by the FBI late Wednesday night. Agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives were brought in to assist. The suspect bomber was raised in Ohio. Excuse me. The suspect bomber was raised in Ohio, moved to Colorado Springs as an adult, and had reportedly been linked to several addresses in the city, including one searched by investigators. He is suspected of renting the Elon Musk-owned Cybertruck in Colorado Springs via the Turo app and driving it across the border to Nevada on Wednesday morning, stopping at various charging stations along the route. Law enforcement services revealed that Livelsberger, or Berger, whatever how you pronounce his name, who died Wednesday in the explosion outside of the hotel, had previously served at the same military base, there it is, as the New Orleans terrorist Denjabar. Police have not confirmed if the pair were known to each other. Jabbar, who had allegedly pledged himself to the Islamic State, rammed a pickup truck, again, bearing the ISIS flag. Again, the whole narrative, again, guys, the whole narrative is there. It's formed, okay? Killing at least 15 and wounding dozens. The FBI has said it does not think Jabbar, 42, was solely responsible. We're going to talk more about that in just a second as well. For the Bourbon Street attack, authorities are conducting a number of court-authorized search warrants in New Orleans and other states and investigating his potential associations and affiliations with terroristic organizations. Again, the explosion took place at 8:40 a.m. in the hotel's valet area. Surveillance footage showed the truck sitting outside the front entrance. Seconds later, the entire $80,000 vehicle blew up in a fiery blaze with its roof going up in flames first. And then they just give details on this. Now, here is the thing. This is the thing that got me, guys. In the beginning, I was like, okay, maybe it is a terror organization, this and that. But this, I want to show you this right here. Look at this image that you're looking at on your screen. I know you guys are listening by Apple or Spotify, can't see this. But here you have a Tesla Cybertruck, which was manufactured by Elon Musk, who is now pretty much Donald Trump's right-hand man. Now, in this image, you see the word Trump really big on the hotel. And in front of it, an exploding Tesla, which is, again, representing Elon Musk. Guys, listen to me. This was well coordinated, and it is a message. Now, who it's from, I don't believe it's from Al-Qaeda. I don't believe it's from ISIS. I believe we are seeing a well-orchestrated MKUltra operation at its finest. Now, you may be listening today and be like, I don't even know what that means. What is MKUltra? Well, let me explain it to you. MKUltra was a covert CIA program officially known as Project MKUltra. It was initiated in the 1950s and continued through the 60s. The program aimed to develop techniques and substances for mind control, interrogation, and behavior modification. It involved experiments that tested the effects of drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, and psychological manipulation on human subjects and trials, often without their knowledge or consent. I want to say that again. This program was used on individuals oftentimes without their knowledge or consent. Now, let's just go with the mainstream narrative. Here you have two individuals, one in which they're telling us had financial troubles. They're saying that he was mentally unstable. He had they're building the case, and he converted to Islam, allegedly. And of course, by the way, you know, he got the ISIS flag on the back of his truck. Where do you even get an ISIS flag? I don't know. Maybe you can get it on Amazon. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, it's amazing. You can't find a book on Amazon that tells us where babies come from, or that there's only two sexes, but apparently you can get an ISIS flag. I don't know. Who knows anymore? It's a bizarre world that we live in. Now we have another individual who served in the military who I am sure, as this thing unravels, I'm already expecting them to tell us that he also had mental instability. He had, there was probably some motive for him to do this. So here you have two individuals who are vulnerable mentally, emotionally, and there is a, again, it is a known thing. This is not a conspiracy. There is a covert CIA program that has existed since the 1950s that is able to control minds, behavior modification, and many individuals, subjects, guinea pigs, victims were used without their knowledge or consent. So it is, everything is ripe for such an event. Now, I want to, we do have a video here, and we're going to go, I'm going to go back to this thought of this MK Ultra. Let's pull up this, let's watch this video, because they're going to talk more about these two events together. Let's see what they're going to say. This one is probably one of the most recent videos we've had.
President Biden saying that officials are now investigating whether there is a link between the deadly terror attack in New Orleans and the Tesla cyber truck explosion that happened outside of Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. This is some new video of that explosion. You see it there outside the Trump Hotel. The driver of that vehicle was killed. Seven others were injured. And we now know that that Cybertruck was rented in Colorado.
We are learning from our John Miller that according to multiple law enforcement officers, this person who died in this attack, the driver of the Cybertruck, has a military background. Now, authorities say they do know the name of this driver, but they are not releasing this person's identity until they notify the next of kin. But they did say that this person rented the Cybertruck in Colorado via Turo, drove the Cybertruck down to Las Vegas, and was in Vegas for about an hour before it pulled in front of Trump Tower in the Valet area when that explosion happened. Now, we were able to see video that they released that shows the explosives that were contained inside. Right there, you can see the Tesla bed, the Cybertruck bed.
Oh, wait till we show you what officials have allegedly found in Virginia. We're going to show you that in a minute, too.
And some of those explosives included fireworks, gas tanks, and camping fuel. And all of that was connected to a detonation device that was controlled by the driver. Now, what's incredible that the sheriff pointed out is that all, the explosion was really contained to the Cybertruck because of the way that the Cybertruck is built. Accordingly, apparently, the explosion went upwards, not outward. And so none of the glass at the Trump Tower was broken. Seven people were injured with minor injuries, but all of them are okay, and they have been released from the hospital.
Now, stop. This was not an attack against Donald Trump. Donald Trump wasn't even there. So I want you to think about this. This was not an attack against Donald Trump. They were not trying to take out Trump. This was not another attempted assassination of Trump. This was a message. Now, again, the key is we're on our own, guys. I'm not waiting on the FBI, the CIA, and all these three-letter agencies to tell me and to tell us their official narrative of who it is. They're already building the case. This is ISIS. This is Al-Qaeda. This is a terrorist network. I mean, they're doing this all over again. It's almost like they're playing these cards again. You know, fool me once, fool me twice. You fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Again, are we going to do this again? They're playing these cards again. We're going to get the deck out. Let's use the ISIS card again. Then while you're at it, let's get the bird flu in here. Let's get the pandemic card. Let's get it ready. Let's get it warmed up. Let it get on deck, because that's probably going to be played in 2025. Come on, guys, wake up. Wake up. I don't care. Look, call me what you want, but I think people are finally opening their eyes and waking up.
Now, Las Vegas police believe this was an isolated incident. They are not willing to say at this point that it is connected to the New Orleans incident, but they are investigating. And it is unusual that both drivers did use the Turo app to rent those cars. So obviously this is part.
And both individuals served at the same military.
Part of the investigation, we did receive a statement from Turo tonight that says they're cooperating. They also said that neither of the drivers had a criminal background that would alert them as a security threat.
Of course.
Yeah, lots of questions here. Veronica, thank you for that. With us now, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. We have former Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security.
Oh, here we go.
Security Juliette Kayyem and former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis with us. Andy, you have President Biden confirming tonight officials are investigating whether there's a link between these two attacks. So we've talked about some of the similarities. What are the things you're looking at that could point in that direction?
Well, so far, Brianna, we have two not.
Now, I know we're going to listen to this, but I got to cut this off. I got to interject something here. These are the same people that when this took place in Louisiana on Bourbon Street, New Orleans, remember when it first happened, they said, this is not a terrorist attack. Remember, they come out and said that right off. But then, in my opinion, it was so blatantly obvious that it was that they had to retract what they said. And they looked like idiots, and they had to come out and say, well, you know what? This was a terrorist attack. So, again, these people have lost all credibility, in my opinion. All these agencies have.
Necessarily relevant similarities, right? We know they both went to the same rental car agency, essentially this online service that facilitates private citizens leasing their own or renting their own cars to people. So they both use that same service. And we know that they both have military backgrounds. But again, these are things that could easily have been coincidence. That's not to say that these two events are not related. They wouldn't be investigating that very question if they thought it was something that wasn't possible. And if it turns out, and again, this is a big if because we don't know that at this point, but if it turns out that these two individuals knew each other, then we have a very significant issue on our hands here. That points to a conspiracy, coordinated effort that spans a large area, right? Two very different states. We know the Las Vegas attacker started in Colorado, drove to Las Vegas and detonated that truck there, whereas the other, the New Orleans attacker started in Houston and ended up, of course, in New Orleans to commit his attack. So connecting these two would be highly significant, but we are not quite on the verge of doing that at this point. We need a lot more detail to figure out if there are actually any interactions between these two people. Law enforcement has many resources, intelligence resources, law enforcement resources at their disposal that they can push against to see if there are any indicators that I'm sure they're doing exactly that tonight.
Yeah. And Juliette, according to our John Miller, both the alleged Vegas perpetrator here and this New Orleans suspect, as Andy mentioned, had military backgrounds. So they both appear to be veterans. Both electric vehicles, both rented on Turo, as Andy also noted there. Explosive devices in both. I think we should note that, although the suspect in New Orleans was not able to detonate them before police took him out. There's also potentially some differences here. So where does that lead investigators as they're looking for further concrete links?
Yes, I think the connections that you and Andy describe, as well as just the fact they're on the same day, not many hours apart, would lead any investigator and any federal entity to determine whether there were linkages. Was there some coordination around timing and methods and means? But there are also a lot of differences. For one, the second attack in Las Vegas, sort of you combine Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the Trump Tower, that suggests someone who had a political focus against them or wanted to make a statement about one or both of them. That's not a coincidence, Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And that terrorism towards them, right, and the violence that was perpetrated presumably because of them is a form of terror, of course. And we've seen the former and future president, also be the victim of two assassination attempts. So this seems different as compared to what in New Orleans, which is very similar to what happened in Europe, right? That France and Germany and elsewhere, where a car is simply used to mow down a lot of people in this instance, and also
that had explosives on it on the same day that this Cybertruck was riddled with explosives, that was also an electric vehicle, was also rented by ex-military, was also rented by the same app. Okay.
Utilization of a gun and other things where you have an individual or a number of individuals who are motivated by terrorism, but maybe also in this case by other things. And that's what we will determine and what will be learned. Why is this relevant? Is it's a very different threat environment if this was coordinated for the nation. It just is. But if there are explanations for both that are limited to both of them, it does make the American public feel differently about the threat environment.
It certainly does. Ed, it's possible that law enforcement is poised to find out a lot of information because they are waiting on federal authorization to search a Houston home that they believe is connected to the New Orleans suspect. And authorities are saying they're hours and hours away from being able to enter that home. What are they looking for? How quickly do they need to get in there?
Oh, gee, I wonder what they're going to find in there.
Hi, Brianna. It's really important that they get in there as quickly as possible. The attorneys will be assisting in writing up the documents and making sure that everything meets constitutional muster. And that can be done fairly quickly.
And let's just take a guess here what they're going to discover. Possibly a manifesto, ISIS propaganda. Come on, guys. You know it's coming. It's coming.
I'm sure that overnight there's going to be leads that are developed. In every case that we have, the investigators work around the clock to make sure they're getting everything that they can. And I was often awoken at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning with the latest information. So all of that is in process right now. And my colleagues have said exactly the right thing. It is critically important that the investigators run down this potential link and also look at social media, look at any writings that they're going to find.
There we go.
And importantly, look at who his circle of friends are and acquaintances, people that he's been in contact with. And that information will come from the house. And then you can just very slowly and methodically go through each one of these individuals and question them. The other thing it's important in this case is it is such a high-profile case that anybody who had contact with this man will be reporting things to the authorities. And I think that's where we get a lot of our leads in a case like this.
All right, guys. Meanwhile, authorities are still searching for potential accomplices. Don't forget this. There was another article that said that authorities are concerned that these accomplices are still at large. Now, remember, we got the Sugar Bowl that's coming tonight. The Sugar Bowl is going to be, they're saying that this is going to have unprecedented security. But again, these quote unquote accomplices are still at large. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell told Fox News that there is, quote, evidence that Jabbar worked alongside accomplices to coordinate the attack. Now, again, was one of these accomplices this man that carried out this Cybertruck explosion in Vegas? Time will tell. But again, I'm telling you, they've already built the case up, guys. They're going to tell us that if that's the case, this is an ISIS operative. These are cells that have been brought here. But again, I am not buying this as much as I did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because isn't it a coincidence? Everything's a coincidence, right? Here we are 18 days away from President Trump, again, coming into office. All the FBI, the CIA, all the three-letter agencies have warned that all of these things were coming. So they've already told us these things are coming. We've had multiple assassination attempts against Trump. Don't forget about the mystery drones. You know, the mystery drones that everybody suddenly forgot about. And some of which were flying over Trump's golf course in New Jersey. They were seen scanning the golf course. Who knows what and who and what their agenda was, these drones, or is it still going on? Who knows? Then you have this weird mystery fog that's taking, it's sweeping the internet. Who knows what that is? Who knows if it's true? Who knows what's in it? Who knows what's going on with this? There's so many things going on, guys, it makes your head spin. Meanwhile, on the top of all of this, while all this is going down, a man in Virginia was just arrested as agents allegedly find the, quote, largest cache of finished explosive devices in the history of the FBI. Do we got anybody from Virginia in the chat, on YouTube, here, on Rumble, whatever the case may be? This is in your state. A Virginia man was arrested after federal authorities found a cache of homemade explosive devices, some of which were marked as, quote, lethal at his home, marking the largest seizure of finished explosive devices in the history of the FBI. Guys, that's saying something right there. Authorities took Brad Spafford into custody on the 17th of December. So this was weeks ago. At a farm in Smithfield, about 29 miles northwest of Norfolk, and charged him with unlawful possession of unregistered short barrel, according to court filings. FBI agents found the rifle along with a stockpile of more than 150 homemade explosive, or excuse me, improvised explosive devices assessed as pipe bombs during a search of his home. Again, this was according to a detention memo. Some of these devices were marked lethal. Most of the devices were found in a detached garage where the FBI also found tools and manufacturing materials, including homemade fuses and pieces of PVC pipe. Several additional apparent pipe bombs were found in a backpack in the home's bedroom, completely unsecured. The phrase, now here's, again, motives right here. The phrase, hashtag no lives matter, was written outside the backpack. How convenient is that? Isn't it? Does anyone find it amazing that these guys who carry these things out always leave the most obvious blatant breadcrumbs out there? Who does that? Who writes that on their backpack? I mean, seriously. Well, brother, a mentally ill individual could do that. Yes, someone who's vulnerable for influence, brainwashing techniques. Prosecutors said that, quote, no lives matter follows an extremist ideology. There it is. And promotes mass killings, criminal activity, and targeted attacks, and has historically encouraged followers to engage in self-harm or animal abuse. Again, this was the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness said. The memo also states that Spafford lived at the home with two young children. Spafford allegedly told authorities that he kept in his freezer a jar of an explosive material that is so unstable it can explode as a result of friction of temperature changes. Photos in the court filing showed a jar labeled dangerous and, quote, do not touch next to what appeared to be hot pockets and other food items in the freezer. And here's all the material that the authorities confiscated. Prosecutors said Spafford used images of the president, there it is, for target practice. Guys, again, so here's a guy in Virginia, had a cache of weapons that made history, largest in FBI history, lives with children, has no lives matter on his backpack, and is a Trump hater. How? Of course it is, of course. He expressed support for political, there it is, assassinations, and recently sought qualifications in, quote, sniper shooting at a local range. They argued that his release poses an extreme danger to the people he lives with, the community, and the patrol officers who will be tasked with periodically inspecting his residence for firearms, including dangerous and unstable explosives, the memo says. An attorney for Spafford did not immediately respond to requests or comment. The investigation into Spafford began last year when a source told authorities that Spafford had disfigured his hand while working with a homemade explosive device. So apparently this was a neighbor that reported this guy. And again, let me go back to this. I want to read this again. Let's talk about this. This Project MK Ultra, again, was created in the 1950s. and it continued for over a decade. Now, some will say, well, this doesn't no longer exist anymore. I absolutely do not believe that. I believe this still exists today. I still believe it's in operation, and I believe we've seen it used over decades now. The main goal of this project was to understand and develop methods for controlling human behavior, often in the context of Cold War espionage. The program sought to create techniques for interrogations and the potential programming of individuals as agents. However, many experiments were conducted without informed consent, violating ethical standards and human rights. Participants included unwitting U.S. citizens, soldiers, prisoners, and even foreign nationals. Now, there is much speculation that if this project is still in operation, then there is U.S. citizens, there is soldiers, and there's other victims that can fall prey to this type of project, this type of technology, this type of invention that they have created to do this, to alter minds, to control individuals' behavior, and watch this, conveniently groom them to carry out agendas. Guys, I am deeply concerned. I am deeply concerned. If y'all remember, before we ever went into the New Year's, I said that there was three main timelines that I was concerned with. And they were during Christmas Eve and Christmas, which we got through that, praise God. I said New Year's Eve, and look what happened here on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all of that in that same 24-hour span. The next one is January 20th. Now, I want you, again, step back, take a deep breath, think about everything we're talking about here. Think about, these are individuals that we know of that we're being told that have been put into custody. This doesn't include all the individuals out there that we have no idea about. Some of these individuals, they're already telling you guys that there are perpetrators, plural tense, accomplices, plural tense, that are at large and loose in New Orleans, possibly Texas, possibly Nevada, possibly Virginia, possibly New York, New Jersey. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what their agenda is? Who knows who's pulling the strings? Now, again, you have a choice. You can sit back and you can believe the official narrative that we're being told. I mean, it's not like there's not a history of inconsistencies and cover-ups, or we keep our head on a swivel. We be prayed up under the blood of Jesus and use wisdom, my friend. Goodness sake, use wisdom. If you don't have to be in large crowds, don't be in large crowds. This is why I don't, honestly, this is why I don't travel much. Well, you're living by fear. No, I'm using wisdom. I go places that I need to go. I take trips with my family. I go on vacation, but I also go places that most people don't, because I don't like big crowds of people. Never have. It's just my personality. It's not about fear. It's about who I am. It's about my personality. I'm not a big crowd person. When I lived in Kentucky, we had what was called Thunder over Louisville every year. It was around Derby, and they had fireworks, and they had airplane shows, and they had this, and there would be hundreds of thousands of people that would pour into Louisville. And I said, no, thank you. I do not want to be near that. No. Especially as I've gotten older. I like being at home. I enjoy it. I like knowing where my family is. I know where my kids are. I know where my wife is. I know. Again, you got to do what you got to do. But I'm just telling you, friends, we're living in dark times, perilous times, and we're only on day two. Day two, not month two, day two of 2025. We're 18 days away from the inauguration of Donald Trump. We was that an ominous sign with four monuments being struck by lightning on the same night on New Year's Eve? Was that a sign to us saying things are going to get very treacherous in 2025? And this doesn't include the Middle East. It doesn't include things going on in Europe. And I'm going to leave you with this because, again, as I said before, it's almost like they're pulling out the old deck of cards and they're playing these cards again that were played out. The ISIS card. And now I believe 100%, guys, and we've talked about this, one of these cards that they got on deck is this bird flu thing. This could be, and again, I'm only echoing what these quote-unquote experts from the infectious disease and the CDC and the World Health Organization, all of them are saying. They're saying that this could be the next pandemic. And again, they played that card. There was a trial run with the last pandemic to see how far we could, to see how far it would go, to see what would be pushed, to see how tyrannical and dystopian that these governments can be and get away with. So they've tested that. The new technology that's come out, they're using it to their advantage. The stage is set for the next pandemic. So I said all that to say this. Be prayed up, be vigilant, keep your head on a swivel, because again, we're in dark times. This is not to bring fear, but it's to bring information. It's to inform you and not to make you afraid. Okay, we're not spreading fear. We're again bringing you information that you can act upon by keep prayed up. Keep under the blood and use wisdom. Keep your eyes peeled. Look around. Use wisdom. If by all means, I'm just telling you, I personally would not be found in crowds, in these large crowds like this, in this type of environment that we're living in. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, our main app is available on Apple and Android. Please go download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep up with this and all of our information. As always, guys, we appreciate, listen, we just want to give a shout out to all of our partners and supporters of our ministry in 2024. You help us to remain strong. You help us to remain vigilant. You help us to be able to spread our message across the globe here via the internet and via social media and all these avenues. And again, we are a partner-supported and funded ministry. We do not sell any products, no merchandise. The app is free. The website's free. No subscription fee. All we ask is if this ministry blesses you, informs you, equips you, all of the above, why don't you pray about becoming a monthly partner? Maybe in 2024, you were blessed by our ministry, but you never partnered with us. Well, now you can do that. You can step up in 2025, become a partner, and you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or other means there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make out the End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.